Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children and anarchists of all ages, welcome to the United States of Anarchy podcast. Who am I? I am the man without a plan, the Dark Lord himself, the Nightmare King, giving you unapologetic truth and hardcore facts. And occasionally we have fun over here. If you are looking for celebrity gossip, this is not the podcast for you. This podcast is for real topics, real situations, and real people. And occasionally we have fun over here. If you don't like what I have to say, two words, don't listen. Boycott my podcast, boycott my social media, boycott my music, boycott anything that has my name attached to it. It's that simple, people. Now, guess who's back? Back again. Jack is back. Tell a friend. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, I'm back. I know you guys have been waiting for me a while, but here I am. And this is a special edition of the United States of Anarchy where we get into politics and we are going to go into Super Tuesday and what has transpired and what it means for this year's presidential, for this year's presidency. Some familiar names and familiar faces. We're going to have a little fun here, and we're going to educate ourselves on what's going on. So buckle up, hold on tight, and let's begin. And we're back, ladies and gentlemen. So we are going over Super Tuesday, and what is its significance, and what does it mean for the current presidential elections? But before we get into what it means for the current presidential elections, we gotta answer one question. What is Super Tuesday? Most people don't know. I didn't know prior to this. I just kept hearing about Super Tuesday, Super Tuesday. So in this segment, we're gonna go over exactly what is Super Tuesday and when did it start? So Super Tuesday is the United States presidential primary election day in February or March, where the greatest number of U.S. states hold primary elections and caucuses. Approximately one-third of all delegates to the presidential nominating conventions can be won on Super Tuesday, more than any other day. The results of Super Tuesday are therefore a strong indicator or of the likely eventual presidential nominee for each political party. So basically, Super Tuesday is the championship when they weed out the strong from the weak and the weak from the strong. Who is the least likely that both parties would want to be their nomination for president and who they want for their presidential candidacy. So that's why campaigning before Super Tuesday is so important. So, but let's go into the origins of Super Tuesday and when it started. Believe it or not, Super Tuesday started in 1984. It was dictated to the delegates. The Super Tuesday 3 were delegates from five states: South Dakota, New Mexico, West Virginia, California, and New Jersey. The proportional nature of delegation meant that Walter Muldate was likely to obtain enough delegates on that day to win nomination at the 1984 Democratic Convention, no matter who actually won the states contested. Gary Hart maintained that unpledged superdelegates that had previously announced their support for Mundale would shift to his side if he swept Super Tuesday primary. Hart committed a false pass, resulting in New Jersey shortly before primary day. Campaigning in California. Basically, that story, and in 1984, we all know Ronald Reagan was the only candidate to secure delegation. So Super Tuesday can go one or either way. Now, we recently watched the Super Tuesday, and we saw who ultimately came out on top. But when we come back in the next segment, we are going to go over how we got to this point. How did the current winner win? And did history repeat itself? And we're back, ladies and gentlemen. So we are going over Super Tuesday and the significance, as well as what are the long-term ramifications of the results of this year's Super Tuesday. Now, before we get into the long-term results, I think we need to go over who on the Republican, who was on the Republican ticket before the current results came out. Now let's go over a few things. Let's start with the fact that we had the Republican candidacies were the largest in the U.S. presidential history. They've never had so many presidential candidates. But let's go over the most significant to ones that we just forgot they were there. Let's start with the one who outlasted everyone but recently conceded a couple of days ago. Nikki Haley, she dropped out. She's the former governor of South Carolina and used her time to design an exact strict voting law requiring photo ID. Now that's where you messed up, lady. Photo ID. And she wanted to do voter ID would be the law of the land. Another one of her policies that she wanted to push was the pro-life policies that I think ultimately hurt her. One of the things that ultimately hurt her. But her remarks about the Civil War and slavery is what did her in. Ultimately, she conceded her loss on Super Tuesday to the current frontrunner and nominee. Now let's go over to the next person. The Incubus of Satan from Florida, Ron DeSantis. Now the reason I call him Incubus of Satan, because people need to understand something, and this was a good thing that he dropped out. Ron DeSantis is 10 times more dangerous than Donald Trump, and I will explain why in a moment, but let's go over him. While in office, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis signed 5 bills greatly restricting access to the ballot box, okay? One of those bills prevent an estimated 774,000 Florida people, residents of Florida, with former felony convictions from registering to vote. He also inadverted to further deprive black citizens of Florida fair representation, dismantling the state's 5th congressional district, which had 3 decades of black representation. Recently, DeSantis admitted that Trump lost 2020 elections. However, he rallied against Trump's indictments in Fulton County, calling it a criminalization of politics. Now, see, people, you heard it right there for yourself. Not only did that man try to restrict black people from voting, Jim Crow 2.0, he also has signed bills for Don't Say Gay. He's also signed bills in his city, in his state, getting rid of CRT, what is known as critical race theory, which is needed in schools. And he's overall just not a good person. Usually I would save that for my final thoughts, but I needed to put that out there. So let's move on to the next one of the other candidates that dropped out. Asa Hutchinson, who served as governor of Arkansas from 2015 to January 2023, enacted some of the worst voting restrictions and restricting maps in the county, in the country, even though Arkansas already has the lowest voter registration, lowest voter turnout, and the highest absentee ballot rejection rate, Hutchinson allowed continuous new restrictions, including a signature matching requirement for absentee ballots. So continuous, in fact, that the judge eventually ruled that all 4 laws violated the rights to vote as in Arkansas Constitution. Hutchinson also supported a ban on outside funding for election administration and a rule that makes it harder for canvassers to get citizen-led initiatives on the ballot. Hutchinson one redeeming quality is that he is a long criticized of Trump. Basically, the only good thing about him is he talked badly about Trump. But from what we have heard and read, he's basically the same thing. Now, here is a candidate that I am personally familiar with, and I have followed his career. Chris Christie. Now, he's been the governor of... He was the governor of New Jersey. And he opposed an ambiguous election reform bill that experts and state representatives said would bring critical updates to New Jersey voting system. In 2016, Christie also vetoed a bipartisan automatic voter registration bill that sponsors hope would encourage youth turnout. He diversely called it the Voter Fraud Enhancement and Permission Act, serving as a primary differentiator, which an unfortunate low bar hit. Christie is one of the only candidates not defending Trump in some way. He asserted that the 2020 election was stolen. He lost. He urged voters to listen to the facts of the law following Trump's second indictment. Listen to his recent interview, which he explains his breaking point. Basically, Chris Christie was running behind Donald Trump. Donald Trump disrespected that man at every turn during the 2016 election. Now, Chris Christie is no angel himself. I remember Bridgegate. Remember when he shut down the bridge so people couldn't come over because he had some beef with New York? Remember that? And those two people went to jail because of him? Remember that, Chris Christie? Yeah, you're the last person that should be talking about Trump. I mean, you haven't committed the same amount of crimes as Trump, as far as we know, but you ain't that much better, buddy. Just saying. Now, here comes someone that I was not really too familiar with. Doug Burgum. He is the North Dakota governor. He leads the only state where voters do not have to register to vote. I didn't even know that. Through a valid photo ID is required. Okay, so maybe that's how they should do it. That isn't to say, however, that Burgum hasn't dabbled in his own fair share of voter suppression. Oh, in 2017, he signed a restrictive voter ID law, required voters to have a street address on their photo ID in order to vote in the state. I don't know about other states, but most states, I would assume, if you have a ID, it would have your address on it. But anyway, the address requirements disenfranchised over 7,000 tribal residents. Oh yeah, that's right. I forgot, our Native American neighbors are over there, who often do not have traditional street addresses on reservations. See, I didn't even know that either. The states where the state was sued and ultimately had to accept the tribal ID as valid photo ID at the polls. Our Native American neighbors, the only other group of people that have been screwed over more than the Black and Latino community. But I digress. And last, but here's another candidate that ran for president for the 2024 presidential election that needs no introduction. Mike Pence. On October 28th, more than 2 months before Iowa caucus, Mike Pence ended his long-term bid for president. Pence argued that the universal mail-in voting, early voting, same-day registration, and federally voting restriction would be exacerbate existing vulnerabilities and further determine that the American people's confidence in the principle of one person, one vote. Even after Trump supporters threatened to kill him, he continued to spout conspiracies about the 2020 election, stating in 2021 he opted that the election involved significant irregularities. Pence. Mike Pence, basically, for those of you who weren't paying attention, he was the puppeteer and Trump was the puppet master. Well, in his mind. But he recently learned that there was no controlling someone like Donald Trump. Yeah, and now, here's what his plan was, ladies and gentlemen, for those of you who are naive. His plan was simple. let Trump make a fool of himself, cause all that trouble, and when it was time, he would be impeached, Trump would be impeached, and he would become the president, because with his policies, nobody in their right mind was going to vote for him, and he knows that. That was the plan. So let's go over another. Let's just go over the names, because I don't want to spend too much time talking about these people. We have U.S. Senate Tim Scott, Senator Tim Scott. He was no peach either. I hope I'm pronouncing his name right. Vivek Ramaswamy. He was the GOP representative from Ohio. So, as we can see, the winner of Super Tuesday, crazy enough, surprise, surprise, was that orange man that I said I would never talk about again on this podcast, but unfortunately, I have no choice but to mention him by name. Donald J. Trump. And when we get back, so when I, in the next segment, I'm going to go over how did we get here, and did history repeat itself? And we're back, ladies and gentlemen. So we are talking about Super Tuesday and the ramifications and the 2024 presidential elections. Now, in the last segment, I briefly went over all of the Republican candidates and how they all stepped aside or was forced, pushed out by a familiar candidate, Mr. Donald J. Trump. So the question I asked in the last segment was, have we seen this before? Yes, we have. Move for move, letter for letter, step by step. We have seen this before. So let's go over the Republican debate, the Republican candidates for the 2016 presidential election. Let's go over that. Let's talk about who was on the card. We had the TV billionaire personality, the guy that we hate to love and love to hate, Donald J. Trump, and his whole claim to the presidential candidacy was anti-immigration, anti-establishment, biggest big mouth, and because of how he got people riled up, they looked at him as the front runner. Then you had the former governor of Florida, Jeb Bush, the brother of former President George W. Bush Jr. and the son of the previous president before them, George Bush Sr. He raised money, but he raised $100 billion, but his brand of conservatism couldn't get him across to a new base. Then you had Scott Walker. He was the governor of Wisconsin at the time. He survived his elections because Wisconsin traditionally is a Democratic state. He's hated by the union. He was hated by the unions and admired by Republicans. So he did well in the Iowa caucus, but he wasn't ready to talk about foreign policies. Then you had a nomination that I was watching because I once upon a time looked up to this guy, the retired neurosurgeon, Ben Carson. He's the first surgeon in history to separate conjoined twins at birth. And he wasn't just one of the best pediatric neurosurgeons. He was the best pediatric neurosurgeon in the world. Other surgeons consult him. If this guy can't help your kid, you might as well just go pick out their coffin and start writing their eulogy. Like, that's how good he was. And we're gonna come back to him in a minute. Then you had Mike Huckabee, the former governor of Arkansas. Now, he was very popular amongst Christian evangelists because they're the ones who helped him win Iowa caucus in 08. But eventually, and fortunately for us, he couldn't beat John McCain. He did work on Fox TV. He was a Fox TV host. Then you had one of my favorites, not the self-appointed leader of the Tea Party, Ted Cruz. And he had a lot of fire. He has a lot of far right ideas. And we're going to talk about him in a minute. We're going to talk about them equally. Then you have Marco Rubio, the senator of Florida. He was one of the guys that we should have been watching, but because he was very easy to listen to. He was very smooth talking. But what hurt him amongst his base is that he was trying to do immigration reform because he is the son of Cuban immigrants. So he could have pulled it out, but we all know what happened. Then you had Randy Paul. He was more liberal with his politics. He was more liberal. Then you had Chris Christie from New Jersey. We all saw how that ended. Then John Kasich from Ohio. So, Donald Trump, oh yeah, there were seven other candidates, but they didn't make the cut. You had Rick Perry, Carly Fiorina, I hope I said her name right, the Louisiana governor, Bobby Jindal, South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham, remember her, former Pennsylvania Senator Rick Strandom, former New York Governor George Pataki, and former Virginia Governor Jim Gilmore. And one by one, like the song that Queen put out, it was just like watching that whole thing in 2016 was like, another one bites the dust, and another one gone, and another one gone, another one bites the dust. Now let's talk about what went down during the debates. Donald Trump not once talked about the issues. No, he didn't. He did what he did best. He mudslinged. He insulted people. And he offered Ben Carson, one of the guys that I used to look up to, one of my heroes, he offered that man one of the biggest insults of them all. He referred to Ben Carson, he called him, and I quote, he called that man a pedophile. It don't get more disrespectful than that. Now, Ben, Mr. Carson, if you happen to hear this, if it was me he said that to, I'd have slapped the dog taste out of his mouth. How dare he say that about you, and you let that happen? And here's the bigger insult that he offered you. After he won the election, became president, instead of putting you in charge of health, he put you in charge of HUD, public housing. Basically saying, oh, because I interpreted it as, oh, he figured, oh, you're black, so you must know more about the projects than I do. That was a huge insult to me. Chris Christie, he dropped out of the race backing Donald Trump, thinking that he was going to get a big job in the private sector. Nope, didn't happen. But you see, I was just doing this segment to show that we watched this happen before. I don't know if the Republican Party is deliberately sabotaging their candidates for Trump, or it just worked out that way. Correct me if I'm wrong in the comment section, because I'm not too big to admit I'm wrong. You understand? But I gotta call a spade a spade. I gotta call a spade a spade. If it walks like a duck, talks like a duck, Aflac. So when we come back, ladies and gentlemen, I'm gonna get into the Democratic candidate that was running against Joe Biden, that is running against Joe Biden. And we're back, ladies and gentlemen. So in this segment, we are going to go over the Democratic candidates that are running for office against current President Joe Biden. Let's start off with a individual who is known to me because I do follow the platform that he is a part of, Cenk Uygur. He announced the longest of a long shot campaign in October. He's 53 years old, but he's the very outspoken host of the progressive Young Turks TV show. Now, if you're not familiar with Young Turks, they talk a lot about injustice, the things that are going wrong. They're a big supporter of what Kaepernick was doing with his taking a knee against the national anthem. Well, not the national anthem, against police brutality. They were one of the few media programs that supported him. Cenk Uygur, he did run for office for Congress in California for 2020, but he could not run because he is from Turkey. He was born in Turkey, and most legal scholars would tell you that makes him eligible for president. Under Article 2, Section 1, Clause 5 of the U.S. Constitution that says only natural-born citizens can hold office. But Cenk Uygur, he says otherwise. He plans to prove it in court. He also says the Democrats need to ditch Biden or face losing the White House to Trump. Now, he's never really said anything bad about Joe Biden, but Cenk Uygur has made it clear from day one that he is not for, and his disdain for Donald Trump as an immigrant. So yeah, naturally he's not gonna like him. But here's the other candidate, Marianne Williamson. She ran for president in 2020, but she was unsuccessful. She also unsuccessfully ran for a seat in the House of Representatives in 2014. She became the first Democratic candidate to announce running. She was the first to say she was running against Joe Biden. And she writes a lot of self-help books. But she launched her long shot bid with the campaign and promised to address climate change, student-owned debt. She previously worked as a spiritual leader for Michigan State. She suspended her campaign and unsuspended her campaign. So those are the Democratic candidates that are running against Joe Biden: Cenk Uygur and Marianne Williamson. Now let's talk about another party that we really don't talk about too much on this platform: the third party option, which I'm all for it, mate, because let's face it, people. We have been dealing with right-wing, left-wing politics for so long that it's gotten to the point where now it's tribalism. So maybe we should try something new, something fresh. Wouldn't you agree with me? Now, follow me, ladies and gentlemen. So the first person that's running independent is Robert F. Kennedy Jr., son of Robert F. Kennedy, who is the brother of JFK, John F. Kennedy. Both of them were Democratic Party members, and they were both assassinated. John F. Kennedy, he works as an environmental lawyer, and he has put out a lot of anti-vaccine views, and he compared the mandate vaccines during COVID as Hitler's Germany. That one was a big stretch. His political views are, he's running on the end-to-end chronic disease epidemic. He put out a lot of baseless conspiracies against companies like telecom networks and claims that they're being used to control the people. Well, that's not really a conspiracy too much. That's actually rooted in some fact, ladies and gentlemen. Like, both his uncle and his father were assassinated during the 60s. Me personally, if JFK and his brother would have lived, America would have been shaped a lot differently. But hey, it happens. So here's the other candidate from independent, Jill Stein. She's a doctor and activist. Not much is known about her, but we will find out in the coming days as the campaign heats up, the campaign trail heats up. And last but not least, now this is a man that I am 100% familiar with. He's one of the greatest minds to come from the black community. He's a black intellect, Mr. Cornel West. He used to work at Harvard University, yes, an Ivy League school, but he resigned saying that the school had an intellectual and spiritual bankruptcy of deep depths. That's deep. He announced that he was running for president on Twitter, and he's running as a member of the People's Party, and that's a third party that is formed, that is headed by Bernie Sanders. Now, we've sung his praise on this platform many times. He's currently a professor of philosophy at Union Theology Seminary. So this guy is very well educated, very well spoken. He has debated the likes of Candace Owens. He's debated the likes of many people that were considered to be intellectuals, and he made them look very foolish. I got a kick out of it, every second of it. So, now that we know the other candidates that were running, because that's part of the... We heard this throughout our childhood in terms of G.I. Joe, knowing is half the battle. We had no idea who these people were. Now we do know who they are. So in the next segment, I'm going to go over something that has basically been a call to arms. People are still talking about it. President Joe Biden's State of the Union Address and what went down. And we're back, ladies and gentlemen. So in this segment, I'm going to go over President Joe Biden's State of the Union Address. And hey, let me tell you guys something. He silenced a lot of his doubters. He made believers out of a lot of people, because all the sleepy Joe, creepy Joe talk is gone, disappeared. He knocked it out of the park. He held it down. I'm going to play you guys some of the audio from his speech, because it was an hour long, so we'll be sitting here all day. But let me give you guys some of his speech.
As President Lincoln and the Civil War have freedom and democracy been under assault at home as they are today. What makes our moment rare is the freedom and democracy are under attack at both at home and overseas. My predecessor and some of you here seek to bury the truth about January 6th. I will not do that. This is a moment to speak the truth and to bury the lies. Here's the simple truth. You can't love your country only when you win.
Amen.
It's a decision to overturn Roe v. Wade. The Supreme Court majority wrote the following. And with all due respect, justices, women are not without electoral or political power. You're about to realize just how much you've learned. Those bragging about overturning Roe v. Wade have no clue about the power of women. But they found out when reproductive freedom was on the ballot, we won in 2022 and 2020, and we'll win again in 2024. In November, my team began serious negotiations with a bipartisan group of senators. The result was a bipartisan bill with the toughest set of border security reforms we've ever seen. Well, you don't think so? Oh, you don't like that bill, huh? That conservatives got together and said it was a good bill? I'll be darned. That's amazing. By an illegal. We can fight about fixing the border, or we can fix it.
Exactly.
I'm ready to fix it. Send me the border bill now. Israel has a right to go after Hamas. Israel also has a fundamental responsibility, though, to to protect innocent civilians in Gaza. I've been working nonstop to establish an immediate ceasefire that will last for 6 weeks to get all the prisoners released, all the hostages released. To get the hostages home and ease the intolerable and humanitarian crisis. Thanks to our bipartisan infrastructure law, 46,000 new projects have been announced all across your communities. And by the way, I noticed some of you have strongly voted against it, or they're cheering on that money coming. Anger, revenge, retribution are the oldest of ideas. But you can't lead America with ancient ideas and only take us back. So let's build a future together. Let's remember who we are. We are the United States of America. And there is nothing beyond our capacity when we act together.
Amen, ladies and gentlemen. So you heard it there for yourself in 4 minutes. Now, he addressed so many things. He addressed the border situation. He addressed what's going on in the Middle East. He addressed Roe v. Wade, that you have heard me talk about on this platform. That episode is still available, and it's not coming down unless the platform takes it down. Joe Biden did his thing. He showed you guys he ain't sleepy, he ain't creepy. That's Big Joe talking. But I'm sure you guys noticed in the audio the boos and the outburst. That came from a very disgruntled and disrespectful individual, Marjorie Taylor Greene. Now, I've talked about this woman before, and I'm going to save my thoughts about her in my final thoughts. But just the way she dressed to go to that event said a lot. Because people like her talk about respect, and it's like, you know, look what you wore there. But that's neither here nor there. So when we come back, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to give you my final thoughts. Buckle up, hold on tight. And we're back, ladies and gentlemen. So here are my final thoughts. Now, here on United States of Anarchy, I make it no secret how I feel about politics and politicians. Right wing, left wing, same bird as far as I am concerned. But this presidential election year is going to be an interesting one. Because you have people that we have seen and know for a fact are not qualified to sit in that office. In fact, they are a slap in the face to previous presidents who carried the title of being president of commander-in-chief with reverence and respect. On the other hand, we have people who are running for president who are just doing it to feed their ego and push a line that was created by people that once again have no respect or have any real idea of what they're doing and how to represent this country. Now, even though I make it clear that I don't trust either party, I still tell people to go out and vote, make your voice heard. Because at the end of the day, it is your constitutional right. People fought for this, people died for it. So go and vote. And if you don't know how to vote, do what Cat Williams said. Put my name on the ballot. Or put his name on the ballot. You put my name or his name. It won't count for a damn, but I will be glad that you have that much confidence in me. But the point is, go out and vote. Because the presidential election is coming in November. So by the looks of things, I think we know who is going to get the nomination and who will be the two candidates going at each other. I've given you the names of who's running. I've given you the names of who has dropped out. I've given you the facts that I could find. So now it's up to you, ladies and gentlemen. The ball's in your court. The ballot or the bullet, as the late Malcolm X said, the ballot or the bullet. So Tune into my next episode, where we get into the typical TV, movie, video game, comic book, food, and toy reviews. And after that, I have a real spicy episode that everybody's gonna love. So until then, Rage Against the Machine, always seek truth. Love, peace, and chicken grease. Deuces.